I'm Tracer Hand, and this is Freaky Trigger and the Lollards of Pop. It's Easter Sunday, April 8th, just after the stroke of noon and the beginning of the broadcast day here on Resonance FM 104.4. What's ahead on this show? Pies. That's it, really. It's a whole show about pie. Our senior punologists have been burning the midnight oil to get some extra mileage out of the subject, but I mean, we could probably talk about the relative flake of tart crusts until next Maundy Thursday rolls around. That is how much this show loves pies. So, the usual flim-flam wrapped up in a buttery layer of music before we exclusively reveal here on Resonance FM 104.4 on your dial in London, this week's number one single, as voted for by you, the illegal downloader. But first, what has gone before? Look, at this point you know who we are. If you're still not put off, well, I pity you. But you can go to freakytrigger.co.uk and find out more. This past Friday was Good Friday. How can they call this Friday good? Well, it was good because Freaky Trigger hosted its regular club night, Poptimism, at its top secret location on the first floor of the Union Tavern up at the top of Farringdon Road. In amongst the live music sets, vintage board games, flying eggs, time was found to conduct the 11th Freaky Trigger Pop Focus Group. Focus groupies, were played 20 current and recent charting singles and asked to rate or slate them. In just a moment, we'll let you know who came out on top. But first, your Lollards today are Sis Pontine. Hello, Sis, and welcome to the show.
Hello.
Mark Sinker.
Hello.
And bless him, Pete Barron.
Hi.
We're coming to you live today from Cornwall, of course. First, the bottom of the list was Same Jeans by The View. Did that surprise anybody here?
No, not at all. Tedious band.
I was a little bit surprised. I didn't think it would be bottom.
What do you think would be bottom?
That was the voice of Steve Hewitt, our producer, by the way.
The voting at the back of the room was completely random because we couldn't hear a single thing that was being played. It all sounded the same, unlike pop normally.
Which was the point, of course, because part of the problem with the room is that we were supposed to be very, very quiet. So, I think the View song, it would have probably done better if it had been Same Jeans on for 4 weeks rather than 4 days. I think, you know, 4 days is not a badge of honour.
No, the thing with wearing, if you think that wearing your jeans for 4 days in a row is too long, then clearly you still live at home and your mum does your washing.
So The View, no.
I was surprised that what came in number one, Girlfriend by Avril Lavigne.
Why were you surprised?
Well, yes. Surely you know it's by now. I mean, not that I could tell what it was.
The top six tracks in the focus group were all by either solo or female-led bands, and there are a lot of men there who haven't got girlfriends, and I think it follows that way. It's pop at the moment seems very female-led. And
it is.
And Avril Lavigne, with her proactive going out stealing people's boyfriends tune, which is her shtick, and she's been doing it for years. Skater Boy is all about stealing the boyfriend, after all. So, I mean, fundamentally, we like the idea that the man here doesn't have to do anything at all. The woman's going to go out, get rid of our rubbish girlfriend, and replace it with a pop wastrel.
Just by voting for her song.
Yes.
Yeah. I'll give you those top six, actually, right now. It's Avril Lavigne, Girlfriend, was number one. Christina Aguilera with her throwback Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy type song, Candyman, came in at number two. I kind of think that she missed the whole, like, swing revival by about 8 years, you know, but...
Yeah, this is the swing revival.
Yeah. I guess so.
And she's on her own now, so...
And you just have to look into a mirror and say swing revival 5 times.
Nelly Furtado came in at number three with Say It Right, MIA with Bird Flu, or Mia, I don't know. I say MIA. It looks like an acronym to me. Gwen Stefani... Actually, an acronym is when you say it, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So it doesn't look like an acronym.
Yeah, it'd be Mia then, yeah.
Gwen Stefani featuring Akon with The Sweet Escape. And The Gossip, Standing in the Way of Control, which I, you know, when that song came on in the focus group, I thought to myself, what sub-rapture bollocks is this? And then as soon as she started singing, I was like, oh, this is The Gossip, I love them.
Yeah, exactly, and that's exactly what happened to me as well. And I think in the end it's that, oh, I know the bands, I like them thing that kicks in. And when you actually hear the song, it actually isn't that impressive.
It's all right.
But it's all right, is it?
It got my top mark, but...
Yeah, that's because you're an indie kid.
That's because I'm an indie kid.
Yeah. One of the other... preciously nindy things that occurred at this at this event on Friday was a whole slew of board games that everybody thought they had forgotten got busted out and people actually played them, including Take the Brain.
Yes.
Can you describe this, Mark?
Yes, it's Stupid Chess. It has less pieces, and directions where they can move are written on the board, so that the pawn type pieces, which are called ninnies, can move one square in whatever direction the arrows are on the square, and the numbskulls, which are the sort of queen characters, can move any amount, and the king is called the brain, and is a brooding, bespectacled
piece of plastic
taller than the others, but so not grinning.
You each have a brain, and the idea is to
two armies lined up against each other like chairs. Yeah. But in America, it was marketed as SMESS.
Sorry?
SMESS, SMESS.
Not to be confused with SMERS.
And for some reason, they decided that was a bad name in England, so it was called Take the Brain. And then they rebranded it in the late 70s, feeling that they were being much too frivolous. And as all the king's
clearly
men.
Clearly a very serious game.
And then it had more medieval-type figures.
It was called All the King's Men.
All the King's Men, yeah, after the Robert Penn Warren novel.
It's still no Stratego, though.
It is no Stratego. And we played it on Friday. We played it on Friday, and Mark, having said he'd never played it before, wipes the board with me and another friend of ours, Martin Skidmore, who is pretty good at games.
Well, I would imagine Martin was excellent at chess.
Yeah.
But he was having great difficulty with the can't move a piece in any direction other than the arrow, which he kept forgetting.
Yeah.
So I think if you're good at chess, what I like about this is that being good at chess is actually no help. It's kind of a... It confuses you because you have all your kind of chess tactics in your head, and then you come to this board, and they're really no help because the board has a
forces you into certain.
The patterns can't be moved around. You know, the pattern in the middle is different from the pattern at the side, which is different from chess.
It's a bit like Junior Scrabble, which I used to really, really infuriate me.
What's the difference between normal Scrabble and Junior Scrabble?
Well, Junior Scrabble used to have words on the board already, and less letters. And there were words you had to kind of fit in on.
Surely that makes it harder.
Yeah, it does actually, but it doesn't really teach you to learn how to spell or anything. Any five-year-old wants to play Scrabble.
You can spell however you like in Junior Scrabble.
Pete, there's an old saying, ashes to ashes and dust to dust.
There is.
The proof of the pudding is under the crust.
That's I'm not sure about that bit.
Yeah, well, no, it's true. That's part of it, I think, at least the phrase I've heard. You say that you found a proof for the non-existence of God.
I have, yes.
In the most mysterious number known to humankind. Can you explain?
It's going to be a bit complicated, this.
Take it slow.
I might need a little break shortly. Basically, pi, the number, obviously, rather than the it is part of everything, and we'll come on to that later.
Pi, the number, the definition of which is?
Is the ratio between the diameter of a circle and the circumference of a circle.
Yeah.
Which is, as we know, 3.14156827935, and then...
Well done.
It's a transcendent number, or... an irrational number, depending on which definition you want to say.
Mm-hmm.
And the beauty of it is that if you think of it as a transcendent number, then you can use it to prove the existence of God. If you think of it as an irrational number, you can use it to prove the non-existence of God.
Well, let's take that from backwards. Let's start with the non-existence of God.
Okay. Basically, the idea is that when you're building a universe, which I'm sure we've all done somewhere along the line, one of the very first things you have to decide is the ratio between the diameter of a circle and its circumference. And this isn't, as you may think in the universe we live in, a fixed constant. It's fixed in our universe, but there are certain non-Euclidean geometries and so on that you could fix it where it would be a different number. Okay, and that would alter the way that your universe grows and forces and so on, the way they would affect each other.
Can you be more specific?
I can be, yes, but I'm not going to be.
Pi is surely always pi. There's nothing you could do to make pi be different.
Well, there's nothing you can do in this universe, but let's say you had...
in this universe.
In this universe, yeah. But the point is that God, apparently, according to people who believe in him, created the universe. And so when he got his universe constructed kit out, and unfolded it and unwrapped all the bits, and took it back because he realised he'd left a bit behind and all that stuff, one of the very first things he has to do is say, OK, I want it to be this number. Mm-hmm. The problem with pi is, because it's an irrational transcendent number and doesn't fit any patterns at all, the only pattern is it's this ratio, goes on forever, he would take forever to write it down to fix it as a constant in the first place before he could then install it into the universe. So, by the very fact that he has to pick to use pi to start off with as that ratio, the universe could not exist.
You mean it doesn't have time to stop?
Yeah, it doesn't have time to stop, because he's still doing it.
But surely God is outside time. So it doesn't matter how long he takes.
Well, you could say that, but of course, at the same time, he's still gonna have a clock, which is
also we're having a bit of a problem with the idea of you've used the word universe in different senses.
Yeah.
There's different universes for different values of pi, but it doesn't really make sense to say there's different universes. There's only one universe. No. Well, that's why it's called the universe.
Well, indeed. The problem is, of course,
the whole point of pi is that you don't have to write it all out. That's the whole
point.
That's
why we write it like pi. That's why we write it like that.
Because
like,
it is literally impossible to write it all out. So surely God, when he was putting his constructor kit together, would have just written, you know, that symbol we all know, pi, and then it would have been done.
Also, what you're doing here is you're going back to the old problem with the counting with your fingers thing, because
countable universe
issues. Yeah, because if it's the circumference divided by the radius diameter, why isn't that just, why don't we just call that 1? If we just call that 1 instead of pi, then it's just you're having problems with your counting on the fingers again.
Also, we don't know, maybe God has 22 fingers on one hand and 7 on the other.
Ah, but it's transcendent in all bases. And 22 over 7 is just an approximation of pi, of course. But no, this is not a very...
It can have different values. Why can't it have 22
over
7?
Well, exactly, it could do. But in our universe, it doesn't. And that's the point. It could have done, and that would have been easier.
Now, Pete, tell us how the opposite argument could be taken, that pi actually proves the existence of God.
Can I do that after my song?
Yeah, sure. What is it?
It's Jean Lafitte by Puerto Muerto.
Let's give it a listen.
Yeah.
John Lafitte, and I've long since retired after sailing the sevens for years. A privateer's life is one of intrigue. My old age has been well deserved. I fight the Spanish rain, the brutes, the killers, and slaves. I fight the mother told me of deeds inhumane in Santo Domingo those past days. The Spaniards, they spat on those poor ignorant souls and took them for slaves on their vessels. And I'm an old man, these stories are true and correct. My enemies chased me through Cape Straits and coves, the curl of my mustache maintained.
Radical there, Pete.
Lovely. Well, of course, pirates are so named because they earn 3.1415 times the amount of the average sailor, hence the pi rate.
Oh, okay.
That's where that comes from.
Break.
So, going back to what I was saying before,
please, quickly.
The transcendent about the irrationality. Of course, proofs that God doesn't exist like that are rubbish. It's not a proof that I believe in.
Yeah.
It's, you know, there's lots of other things that I'd rather go. Equally, though, the proof that pi proves the existence of God, which is a, it's a transcendent number, it comes down to this, it's a Bible code thing, as per usual, where basically, because this number goes on forever and yet is fundamental to the way the universe operates, somewhere in that number there must be a code. There must be something that can then turn down. This is the plot of the not very good film Pi, which came out about 10 years ago, which gave me a headache.
One of the few films I have ever almost walked out of.
Yeah, it's a terrible film, and I, you know, I wave my fist all the way through it.
And it's too bad, because they make great hay out of the transcendental craziness of Pi, but to no great effect.
Well, there's two things which are not. I mean, I'm slightly embarrassed that I actually gave this film a bad review in the BFI Journal of Film, Sight and Sound, on the grounds that its mathematics was poor, because there are many, you know, dinosaur movies and whatever, whose science is not really up to scratch, but are great movies, and this was a bad film for many reasons besides the quality of its mathematics. But one of the things which is really sad about it is that transcendental has a very specific meaning in mathematics, which is essentially that there's no secret codes within within the number.
It really means that it is unfigureoutable. It is unpredictable.
It's figureoutable, but it's
figureoutable because it's the ratio of the diameter.
But you can only do it by detection rather than by creating a formula to predict what is going to come in the future.
No, of course, one of the great things about Pi is that people did do this for years and years and years, and so up until about 20 years ago, you know, we'd got to about the millionth digit, about the thousandth digit of Pi, and by laborious hand methods, and every new person who'd come in and join the Pi gang almost had got up to 500, and someone would realise they got it wrong at about 400.
And so you have to retrace your steps.
Then, of course, as soon as computers came out, suddenly, you could just leave them all night and they'll chunk through this laborious stuff. And so now we've got Pi up to, you know, quite a lot of million digits.
Hi, Ned.
Yeah, we have a friend who's read it to that.
Read all of it.
This means also that on the internet you can see Pi up to a lot of digits, and there is indeed a website which will search Pi for a string of digits for you. So whilst you say there is no such
thing, I just fell asleep there for a second.
Okay, whilst you say there is no such Bible code that's hidden in Pi, my telephone number is in Pi. If you take my 7-digit London telephone number, put it in this Pi search engine, it comes up at the 8 digits to make up my phone number starts at 1,672,342, and the next 8 digits.
Well, presumably every number in the world is in Pi, in the same sense that you get a million monkeys with a million typewriters and they create the works of Shakespeare, right?
Well, perhaps. It's an infinite number of monkeys, isn't it?
Perhaps. Yeah.
An infinite number, sorry.
But if we searched through and found someone whose phone number wasn't in Pi, we would realise that they were much more in control, because they were able to, ex-directory. They had a hotline to whoever actually decided what this number was in the first place.
Mark, and Pete, and Sis, and anybody, but especially Mark, seeing as you've written a review about a movie whose maths were not really up to scratch, have there been any good movies about math?
I actually quite like A Beautiful Game. A Beautiful Mind. I think it's it does, one of the nice things it does is it invented the idea that maths professors write their equations on glass that you're standing on the other side of.
Which no math professor has actually
had
ever done
up to that film. Yeah. But now they all do.
I mean, yeah, the maths, and the keep on it. I mean, I remember going to see Good Will Hunting and looking at the maths on the board and looking at it and going, that actually doesn't make any sense. I can look at it, I can work out where they've just put some symbols next to each other which look like that could be a mathematical string. It just doesn't make sense.
Well, that's why they're brilliant mathematicians and you're not, Pete.
Because they could see the sense in it.
Well, but I look a lot like Matt Damon. And yeah, I could have,
that
story could have been about me. Apart from I've never worked as a janitor. Though perhaps when I was at Oxford, maybe I should have done. I would have done better off.
Sis, you've got a song for us.
I have. It's by a group called Enflow. In fact, it's by Enflow Loves Melody and Ryohei Yamamoto, obviously. It's called Miss You, and it goes something like this.
DJ, play that music louder. Onegai.
Boom, clap, boom, 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 clap. Boom, clap, boom, boom, boom. Crush lover is here. And you say slow in this year.
I'm in love with you. So she's like, yo, I'm gonna holler with you.
し、あんた宇宙のスーパーラバババルなのに、 Hey yo don't know what is 高橋タクロビ Gotta be so fly with your hate or melody. Now listen.
I don't know why 君の基準はとても前にもかも so upside. あれもこれもプレゼンされても、 Baby don't you know それだけじゃないよ。
I don't know why 隙間のない迷いの Not that old Is that vital 箇所かどっかで買えるもの何でも与えても She always says no. I gave her this, I gave her that 飾れるものは
夢のような毛の diamond rings are not forever.
Name anything 宇宙船 that blinks Just anything 月の光までも Baby can talk to me.
Baby can't you see 分かってほしい This is my 気持ち。
限度なんてない、好きなもの倍して
バラララララ Say that you miss me とかもないし、
ちゃんとしてほしい Girl、教えて So I can do it right
But tonight you and I could just
up 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 up
up
up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up
up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up
up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up
up up up up up up
up up up up up up up up up up up up up
up up up up up up
up up up up up up up up
up up up up up up up up up up up up
up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up
up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up
up up up up
up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up
up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up
up up up up
up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up
up up up up up up up
up up up up up up up up
up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up
up up up up up up up up up up up
up up up up up up up up up
up up up up up up up up up up up up
up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up
up up
up up up up up up up up up up up up up
up up up
up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up
up up up up up up
up up up up up up
up up up up up
up up up
up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up
up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up
up up up up up up up up
up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up
up up
up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up
up up up up up
up up up up up up up
up up up up up up up
up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up
up up up up
up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up
up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up
up up up up
up up up up up up up
up up up up up
up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up
up up up up up up
up up up up up up up up up up up up up
up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up
up up up up up up
up up up
up up up
up up up
up up up up up up up
up up up up up up up
up up up up up
up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up
up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up up eating habits of the magpie are kind of interesting, because in winter they eat vegetables, mm-hmm. and in summer they eat small invertebrates. But in spring, they eat the chicks of other birds.
Yeah, that would be the murdering bit.
Which would be the murdering bit, which is perhaps a reason why people aren't so fond.
People eat the chicks of birds. Well, yeah. they eat the grown-ups of birds.
Not at Easter, though, Mark. Not at Easter. Those lovely little chicks.
Oh, who would eat? Yeah, people don't really have particularly sensible, ideas when it comes to animals.
Are there superstitions that go beyond just these sort of normal behaviours of magpies?
Well,
that people have about them?
Magpies are supposed to, depending on the number of magpies you see, they're supposed to bring various forms of luck.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, there's a series of rhymes.
There's also, when I see a magpie, I say, "Hello, Mr. Magpie, how's your wife and family?" Otherwise, it is bad luck. And in certain parts of the country, people are salute magpies. And the AA actually issued a warning saying that although it may be bad luck to salute a magpie whilst you're driving, to not salute while you're driving is worse luck to salute and then crash your car into something, because magpies do tend to congregate around kind of the sides of roads.
They're waiting for people to crash,
yes.
so they can
yes.
steal stuff and yes. eat their chicks.
Because cars have mirrors on them after all.
Yes. Sorry, I interrupted this,
no,
please.
No, and there are some amazing ones. There's a lot of sort of, because if you only see one, the classic rhyme, one for sorrow, two for joy. So if you see one, it's bad luck. But if you see two, it's good. So I think that's why you say, "How's your wife?"
Yes, and I think
because you want the wife to come along.
There's a folk theory that they mate for life as well. I don't know if it's true, but so if one for sorrow is so, because that's because he's sad and lonely and he's no longer with, or he or she is no longer with their mate.
How much of the rhyme have you got there?
I have it up to 12,
actually. Okay, let's hear it.
It's a slightly... there are a few words in it, which I'm not sure you're allowed to say on the radio. Nevertheless.
It's our last show.
Exactly. One for anger, two for mirth, three for a wedding, four for a birth, five for rich, six for poor, seven for a female dog, eight for a woman of dubious repute, nine for a burying, 10 for a dance, 11 for England, 12 for France.
And that's different. That's kind of different. It starts
off differently. That's kind of different from the one that we all know, I think.
And what are magpies called in France?
Magpies are the word in French for magpie, actually, and this is the English pronunciation, not the French, but the word for magpies in French is pie.
Just pie.
Wow. The word for magpie in English used to be pie, but the word mag is attached to it, and mag means various things. It means a small bit of, it means shiny, I think it means chattering, which is the noise mm-hmm. that magpies actually mm-hmm. make.
There is a version which says that it's Margaret.
The
magpies are called Maggie, and that you in fact have, there's a northern term for magpie, which is Pinet, which is Pie and Agnes. So magpies are generally girls.
Right. No, I can see.
They steal.
Apart from Mr.
Magpie.
They
eat other people's babies.
Yeah.
They have to be female.
Well, I've actually been looking into the subject, and it seems that the word for our word pie that we use for things to eat comes from the birds, because they are famous for stealing bits of this and taking bits of that, and that's what pies.
Well, it's more complicated than that, but I'm sure we'll get on to it.
But it's a sort of catch-all, sort of the original jambalaya, or sort of...
it means whatever.
It means, right, it's the stone soup of foods. Sis, you said that magpies also, they're good luck in some places.
They're good luck in China and Korea. I don't know if they're good luck in Japan. I wasn't actually aware there were any magpies in Japan, but there might be.
Mm-hmm. They can fly. They can get anywhere.
In China, in Korea and China, the chattering of magpies is a sign of good luck. Mm-hmm. It means that people are coming to visit you.
Oh, that's great.
And, if you kill a magpie, it's obviously dreadfully bad luck, but the rest of the time it's okay.
Do people eat magpies?
I don't actually know. People can eat crows, I discovered.
Well, you can eat pretty much anything.
You can, yeah.
I mean, there's a bit of eating on a magpie, right?
Yeah.
I would have thought it was as much as, say, a quail.
Yeah. Mm. I guess it might come down to the whole scavenger aspect again. People don't like eating scavenging animals and carrion crows and they eat the dead and stuff like that. But
it's odd, because I looked in my Encyclopedia of Gastronomy, which contains sort of sections on eating bear and eating every single animal that was in London Zoo during the war. And For some reason, it had nothing on eating magpies or crows.
Blackbirds? I mean, 4 in 20 blackbirds.
Obviously, blackbirds.
Did it have penguins in it?
But they're not eaten, the blackbirds in it.
Yeah. No.
They're baked into one.
Yeah, but when the magpies opened, the birds began to sing.
Doesn't mean you didn't still eat them afterwards.
I thought they flew away.
Yeah,
it was a dainty dish to set before the king.
Yeah.
I think there's an element of sarcasm in that.
Mm. Well, it's possible, but you know, the magpie in itself. I mean, it's a lovely, lovely looking bird. It's got the white, it's got the black, it's got those little shiny blue bits that look like oil.
Yes.
Which possibly are oil, because they've been swimming through oil.
Certainly in central London. Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Apropos of absolutely nothing, we're switching from pies to lollipops just now, polymorphously perverse folks that we are. This next song is My Boy Lollipop, but by whom? It was written in 1956 for an R&B singer named Barbie Gay by some guys named Morris Levy, Robert Spencer, and Jay Roberts, but you don't really care about that, do you? The big breakout version was done in a ska style by Millie Small in 1964 and has remained incredibly popular right through today. Her version pops up all the time in illegal file sharing programs as being by either the Spice Girls or Brenda Lee, neither of whom ever did it, but it did figure in Spice World, the movie. But plenty of other people did do it, and we're going to play you some of them. One version from each decade since the 60s, in fact. Actually, that's not true, because I couldn't find the Chivalrie version from the 90s, which is actually maybe my favorite version of it. But first up is Sakura and the Quests with their version from Singapore from 1967.
That's mostly twangy.
Yeah, the Quests were actually the house band for all the big Singapore stars of the 60s. But they were great musicians, but not so hot in the looks department. So they needed somebody like Sakura to front them.
So is this being sung in Chinese?
Well, sis, what do you think?
It's Chinese. I don't know which kind, though. Is it Mandarin in Singapore?
Well, what's very strange about this single is that on the cover of it, it says My Boy Lollipop, Japanese version. And this is...
Not Japanese.
There's no way she's singing in Japanese. You don't get vowels like that in Japanese.
Yeah.
Maybe she meant the Hawaiian guitar.
There's a bit of watusi going on here.
That's a nice clattery garage version. The next version that we're going to listen to is also by a house band, the Aural Exciters. They were the house band of Zay Records, the New York label that put out James White and the Blacks and people like that. And they're the producer there. Was this guy named Bob Blank, and these were sort of just friends he had around, and they were famous for just having these late night recording sessions where they would just play whatever. People would get on a saxophone and this, that, and the other thing. It was sort of the last days of when you could still just have a bunch of instruments and studio musicians sitting around without losing your shirt.
It's a great kick drum sound.
Yeah. Now, this is a bit long, but I think we can let it go just a little bit to hear how they mess with the song.
It is more than twice as long as the previous one, which the first one rocked in a nice, solid 2 minutes, whereas this is well over four.
Shocking.
So how many people are in the choir here, we reckon?
I think anybody who was in the room. Probably six, seven?
I don't think that you really need all this extra extraneous nonsense.
Duke Basie certainly didn't.
Nice bass voice there.
Yeah, the breakdown is probably not needed. So I can see Gary Glitter coming in here almost.
Oh, squidgy. Well. Doctor Who.
Hey!
Doctor Who.
You hear another song sneak in here for a moment.
It just did. Lollipop, 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 So I've always thought that was Marble Lollipop.
Yes, me too.
Okay. So next up, let's just bring it back down for a second, and hear where it didn't all begin, but.
Yeah, that's how it's supposed to sound.
Sorry about that. I didn't think it was going to be quite such a start.
Now, this is the Millie Small version, the one that got real famous.
About her boy lollipop.
Yes, it's a small boy made entirely of lollipop.
Yeah.
Because I can just think about the lollipop and the man.
Oh dear, Peter.
I'm not saying anything else. I'm just thinking about, you know.
There's no need to bring everything back to
sweets.
Sweets.
Okay. I don't think we need to hear this. You know. We've all heard this one a million times. Now the next one is from 1979. The only release on a DIY label by a band called Flesh.
It's quite quiet, this one.
Yes. Oh, here it is. This is the sort of thing that gives cover versions a bad name.
It does really, though, make it... Oh, where's it going? Bring it down. Always thought you wanted to be 10 years old, but now I've got you thinking. Perhaps I better help you to your next event. What's going on?
He's just making it up as he goes along.
He is. Apparently this guy, I think his real name is Andrew McKenzie, did this version when he was 14 years old, which gives a sort of continuity with the Millie Small version, because rumor has it, it's never quite been confirmed, that the person playing harmonica on the Millie Small version was a 14-year-old Rod Stewart.
Oh, true. Come on.
That's so not true.
That can't be true.
Look it up.
Surely it was, if anybody, Bob Holness off of Blockbusters.
This shows what happens to a 14-year-old boy's voice, though.
Yes.
Very deep, suddenly.
Okay, I think we've had enough of Flesh.
Definitely.
Last up here is Cosmonova in a slight return of Bosch of the Week.
Great.
With their version of My Boy Lollipop. This, I believe, is from 2002. My boy lollipop, you made my heart so giddy up. You are as sweet as candy. You're my sound the same, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it's a song that really appreciates speeded up voices and stuff like that. And I expect it to be faster.
It's not really Bosch, though.
Where's the ball? Well, maybe it's not coming.
It's lacking that certain fourth to the floor element.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, that's more like it, isn't it?
Real music.
Yes.
More Euro disco now.
It's the important... That's what we want.
What we used to. So what have we learned about My Boy Lollipop?
What indeed have we learned about My Boy Lollipop? Not to let...
It's quite hard to vary.
Yes, I mean, considering we're not even touching on the Bad Manners version here, which of course is the main variation of changing boys to girls.
Mm, yes. Mm. Or near the Duke Basie singing Bus Conductor version.
Ah, yes, of course.
Whatever happened to him?
Well, they got rid of the bus. Maybe he's working on the 9. He's maybe still working on the 9 or the 15.
Yeah, possible.
On the heritage routes.
I'm pretty sure his version had a remix like this on it.
Yes. By the way, viewers, we are waving our hands in the air like we just don't care at the moment here.
Boy, it really takes off, doesn't it?
I care, and I'm not waving my hands at all.
Woo! Okay, wow, that's a lot of excitement for one day. Mark, I was wondering if you have ever eaten a pie for dinner.
Good question.
I don't understand it.
Well, in the United States, the idea of eating a pie for dinner would strike some as perhaps a little over the top, a little insane.
Decadent?
A little decadent. In the UK, not so much.
Is that because of a difference in definition of dinner or a difference in definition of pie?
Well, that's a good question. I think I was thinking more that in the United States, a pie, well, it means something sweet.
Well, I think the word pie is, it suddenly appeared in the English language in the 14th century. In reference to what it more or less what it now means, and it is always said not to have, you know, its etymology seems to come out of nowhere. And the normal explanation of this, the one you find in most dictionaries, is that people started referring to this particular dish as pie because of magpie. And the question is what aspect of magpieism was contributed to this naming. And
probably the black and white colouring.
I think one of the things that you said was that it's actually that the contents can vary, because magpies eat pudding in winter, bugs in the summer, and small children in spring. And
as everybody knows,
the reason why we're broadcasting from Cornwall today is that the devil refuses to cross the Tamar River because Cornish housewives are willing to put anything into a pasty. And you have pudding pasties, you have savoury pasties, you have pasties which actually have different courses,
mm-hmm.
possibly divided.
Within the same pie,
but possibly.
Is pasty a pie?
Well, clearly, because pie includes pasty must be a sort of pie.
The thing is, we've got to not jump ahead of our listeners here. Yeah. Obviously, we have had this pie discussion about pie on many an occasion, and I'm sure that several of our listeners have joined in. But there may be the odd one or two.
Well, I think the mistake in thinking about definition of pie is to concentrate too much on elements of content or too much on elements of form. And what is socially interesting about it is that it's clearly chosen in order to be fluid. We've said earlier on that pie is used as a slang term for whatever,
mm-hmm.
and that's how that magpies came to be called pies, and that's how pies came to be called pies.
Mm-hmm.
But surely not, a pie is just something inside a pastry crust.
Well, I think this is what we need to look at, is the question of form, well, and the question of crust.
In the US, it's certainly not true that it's a pie is something in a pastry crust. A key lime pie, pecan pie, these are not encased in pastry.
They're not pies, then.
These are just what the French would call tarte, not what the French would call tourte, which is something that has a crust on top.
What we need to look at, obviously, is the derivation and the social aspects of the word pastry.
Okay.
And pastry used to just be called paste, which means exactly what we think it is.
Flour and
sticky
water.
Stuff which sticks stuff together.
Uh-huh.
Now, obviously, paste can go round the outside of something, or it can go right through the middle of something.
Sure,
like toothpaste. Mm.
The encasings that what we now think of as pies were put into round about the time it emerged were, in this country, not meant to be eaten at all. They were quite often called coffins, and they were baked separately as solid objects that you put the contents in, put into the oven or boiled or whatever was going to happen to it. The blackbirds that are put into a pie, another thing that happened, the pies which were called, referred to as pasties,
mm-hmm.
whole animals were cooked inside them, and then the casing was not presented on the table. The thing that was cooked inside it was.
But why? So if you didn't eat it, then why do it?
Well, because partly it was a way of cooking that because it was enclosed.
So it sort of keep all the juices in.
And another thing, I think, is it enables things to be portable when you perhaps don't actually own things like plates.
Yeah.
Because those are kind of fancy elements which arrive in.
To an extent, before plates were, well, reinvented.
Yeah.
The Romans had plates, but then the Dark Ages.
Posh people
perhaps
had
plates.
Yes, in your trenches.
Posh people. Would not necessarily
sort of, so you're sort of saying the pies were the original sandwich.
They didn't have plates, but they had pie dishes. This is the thing, they had something to make the pie with.
Yeah, it's these things called coffins, which is why we know that the pyramid is obviously.
So when did we start using pastry?
Well, it goes back to, the word is supposedly derived from the Greek pastein, which means to sprinkle, and what you have in Italy is pasta, which just means dough.
Yeah.
Before the word pasta actually arrived in English, which is after the Second World War, what the Italians called pasta alimentari, paste alimentari, mm-hmm. was occasionally referred to in English as the delicious sounding alimentary paste. But luckily they decided that they would actually allow an Italian word into the language after.
Yeah. So after are you saying that ravioli is a kind of pie?
Ravioli is clearly a kind of pie.
But it's pasta with a sort of filling.
Pasta. Yeah. Right, pastry.
Pastry.
Yeah. Covering a filling.
It's carbohydrate surrounding protein.
And the complexity of this story goes way further when you get to France. The word pâté, which we now think of as this paste of meat.
Yes.
Or other things as well. But pâté is the word in around the 13th to 14th century, which the French used to refer to pie.
Yeah, what we're still
pie.
Do.
Of course, and
it's still called pastry. Pâté sucré, pâté brisé.
Yeah, because you know, in French, when you've got the little circumflex like you have over the A in pâté, that usually means the English word used to have an S or has an S in it, like hôtel, hostel, hôpital, hospital, pâté, paste.
I don't. But so you're saying pâté is a pie?
But this is what's interesting about it, that in the French, the dynamic of the word has moved from the outside, the container, to what is contained. And this seems to be a very common complexity in cookery, and that is because there's an indecision as to what you actually do with this crust. What happened in the medieval times, the coffin story, is that actually poor people kind of stood around outside the castle, and so the rich people ate the delicious stuff that was inside, and this container that had been cooked in was handed out.
Let them eat pie!
let them eat pie.
Marvellous.
And in France, what happened was that in France and Austria and Germany, on the continent generally,
the Plymouth pie.
The what you did with the outside became more and more kind of elaborate and fancy, and so it was drawn into the eating experience. If you were wealthy, it stopped being something you threw away for the poor people to eat. It became something that you enjoyed yourself.
It's just blowing my mind here that pies could be more than just a bit of, I suppose, the shepherd's pie and cottage pie thing and ocean fish pie.
Think shepherd's pie doesn't even have any pastry in it.
The point is that's actually most interesting is this thing that Eli, as an American, draws up, which is that pie is pudding in American terms, but in British terms it crosses this boundary. It can be savoury and it can be pudding, and that's actually a pretty radical, it's not that common, and I think that is one of the things which is so powerful and mysterious and ambiguous about this word, is its inclusivity, whether or not it includes the container, whether when in the meal you eat it, whether it's meant to be sweet, it can be all of these things.
Whose interests does it serve to restrict the definition?
The shadowy cabals.
Well, I think that's the question, and I think
Mr. Kipling.
He makes cakes. Cakes aren't pies. Or are they? I mean, puddings can be savoury as well, of course.
Yes. It's a steak and kidney pudding. Which is a similar kind of
pie. Suet pie type thing. If I'm opening up this definition, if I'm understanding this pie definition to take in basically any kind of food that is covered, is that right? That, or any kind of food that would be covered or contained or...
Yes.
But the container needn't be the thing that's eaten, so it could be just the dish you're bringing it.
So, say, a boiled egg, for example.
Well, yes, if you're using the shell to help you carry it.
Yes.
I've even heard the argument that the world is a kind of pie. It's got a crust, and it's got a hot, moist centre.
Well, Well, I think the way of thinking about it is, in what circumstances would you eat it, and which bits are you going to eat? Is space the crust?
Galactus would eat it, of course.
Surely the universe is a pun.
Uh-oh.
Now, see, I haven't gone too far here. Yeah, I would go back to eating.
Because the question about the universe depends on the definition of Pete's version of pie and whether it actually has...
An outside.
Or whether it is infinite. Yeah. Well, if it's infinite and it's a pie, then I feel my point has been made.
It's probably also God.
I'm not sure what your point is, though, Mark. Are you trying to say that deep down...
My point is that, in a sense, there is nothing that is not a pie.
Thank you very much.
Right, okay. I think so.
But you might have guessed that because it is what it says on Mark's T-shirt.
I try not to look at what it says on people's T-shirts now because I've been accused of ogling ladies' breasts for doing that.
I see. So.
For those of you who don't have the visuals of this particular session as we do, Mark Singer is indeed wearing a T-shirt at this very moment that says in lowercase pink letters, in a sense, there is nothing that is not a pie. And I think you just made the case very well, Mark.
Can I talk about custard now?
Custard, which I'm assuming comes with the word crust as well.
Yes!
Hooray!
Awesome.
Well, it's custard pie, right?
That's like a crust pie. No.
Or pie.
Okay, just to try to push it even further, pizza pie. Is a common expression in popular song and
it's
culture.
Kind of a wrong expression, though. Yeah. I mean, I don't think pizzas are pie.
But you could make a pizza that was a pie.
But everything's
actually,
a pie.
Pizza Hut did in the 80s. They had this pizza called the Piazza.
Well, I mean, there is obviously the calzone, which is a pizza pie.
It's just a piece of pizza folded over on itself, really, isn't it? But a Piazza, the Pizza Hut Piazza was delicious, and it actually had a top crust, and it was very thick, and it was absolutely delicious, and they stopped doing it for a while. No idea why.
It's just a pie thing.
It's
always a pie thing.
Mark, you've got a song for us.
I have.
What is it?
It's called Apple Pie a la Mode, and it's by Destiny's Child, and it's very nice.
Just slowly turn your head. Oh, yes. All right. Girl. That's right. Fine. He walks in with love in his eyes. As he steps, flocking females by his side. Looking scrumptious, even though he ain't trying. Finest thing that you ever did see. Sexy creation had his hat tilted to the side. Staring at me, had my nostrils open wide. Can't even vocalize what I visualize. Damn, my body paralyzed as he smiles at me. I said, hey boy, would you enjoy sitting next to me in your corduroys? I'm from Texas, my girl is from Illinois. Where you from? Can I come visit you sometimes? My oh my, you seem like husband material. Got any cheer in you? Are you married? Cause you're very, very extraordinary. Kind of scary. I want your name added to my vocabulary. Goodbye, love. But I am feeling you. Guess I got to get with you.
in case any of you are planning a trip to France anytime soon, don't ask for a la mode if you mean with ice cream, because it has not been in the fashion over there, I think, since about 1915. You've been listening to Mark Sinker, Sis Noel Smith, a.k.a. I won't even say it, and Mark Sinker, and I think I already said your name, and Pete Barron. Our producer was Steve Hewitt.
Thank you.
I'm Elisha Sessions. We're taking a break until late summer, but at least. But science never sleeps, so we'll have plenty to bore you with once we return in about 3 months' time. We have had on this show a number of people: Alex Thompson, Alan Truartha, Emma Hamilton, Sarah Starry Clark, Rob Brennan, Alex Campbell, Cat Stevens, Mike Jones, Tom Ewing, Magnus Anderson, Katie Grocott, Tim Hopkins, Tanya Heaton, of course, Dr. Drugs, Dr. Pub, Dr. Brand, and Faisal, our engineer. Thank you to everyone who came on the show. Stay tuned for the Other Woman all-female playlist selected by Ruth Barnes, followed by Calling All Pensioners, which is exactly as it sounds, and the Rocket 88 Doo-Wop Rock and Roll Show, which begins at 3. I think young and old alike can enjoy that one. I think any moment now, the mysterious and shadowy figure who runs, or actually doesn't run it, owns Resonance FM in an absentee kind of way from some island somewhere, is actually going to come by and tell us whether or not our show has been renewed. Oh my God, it's you?